This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. A couple of draft questions, some specific to the Commanders, and then one off-the-wall question to wrap us up, Logan, that you got on Instagram, but I really like it. First of all, this one comes in via email from Derek. Again, if you want to get your questions in, you can hit either of us on Instagram, Hoffman.sports for me, Logan underscore Paulson 82 for him, or you can go to HoffmanShow.com and use the contact link to send in your questions that way, like Derek did. First off, I love your segments with Logan where you drill down on NFL subjects. You all are my favorite podcast to listen to. I'm late to the game on the podcast, but still. Thanks, Derek. Welcome to the show. Here's the question. Everyone seems to be setting the table draft-wise for the Commanders to emphasize defense this year, but I see real need still at wide receiver for a larger framed wide receiver two and a running back for a true three-down threat with home run speed. My question is, what are the odds that if Jaden Higgins and or Travion Henderson, for example, are available at the same time as maybe Landon Jackson or Azari Thomas, that the Commanders don't just double down on strengthening their offense instead? I know that even considering their free agent moves, that pass rush is still a need and their DB depth needs restocking, but just curious if you think they might throw everyone a curveball and go in a different direction than what's expected. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a really interesting kind of team building approach. And what I would say to start it off, we're going to answer this in more detail, but what I would say to start it off is go best player available. So if Higgins is your number one player on the board at that point, go that direction. If Landon Jackson is your number one player on the board at that point, go Landon Jackson. If Azari Thomas is number one, go number one. And so that's kind of what I'd point to there. And that's what I think we try to do that every time we do a mock draft, but I just wanted to get that cleared up. So,
but there's also the reality that like you might have all those players in the same tier bucket. And then, you know, they will have made the decision prior who is the number one based off of their positional need or the fit or whatever. But I guess that's kind of at the core of the question is like, let's say those guys are all raw score, you know, tier wise the same. How are they probably thinking about elevating one or more of those players above the others because of either positional need and or fit?
Yeah, so I think Jaden Higgins is an interesting guy. He's interesting, really, really interesting, especially kind of for the big body, because there's not a lot of those guys in this class. There's Alec Aiumanor from Stanford, obviously, who's kind of another guy in that bucket. But I do think Higgins, to me, I have a higher grade on him personally, because I think he's kind of got this slinky movement skill. He tested way better than everybody thought. And so I think people naturally say, oh, well, he's going to just project easily to outside. But he didn't really do that a ton. He did play outside for sure, but he played a lot in the slot. He kind of played in the same utilization as like Drake London, but he's not quite as physical as Drake London. So I think people hear that and they say, oh, he's going to for sure be an outside guy. And I think you want to give him a shot as an outside guy, as a true Z. And I think he catches the football well. I think he's got good route running nuance. I think he's got good release package. He's a good football player. And I think him in this offense would be really enticing to me. Right. Because again, like now you are the teeth of this group is just tremendous. It's already starting to form like real offensive potency, right? You got Terry, you got Debo, you got the guy that they just signed from Dallas. And again, we don't know what he's at, but
yeah,
like
Gallup, yeah.
You re-sign Noah Brown. Like there's some stuff here that you feel really good about. So throwing Higgins back into that mix, again, I don't know that it's necessary, but I think because of how interesting the prospect is. I think that might be the move. The running back thing, I've heard that a bunch of times. I'm a little bit less in on, right? So like with Higgins, for example, there's a couple other big body guys later, like Dante Thornton from Tennessee, who's kind of this speed merchant vertical guy, who again, you probably get him in the fourth or fifth round. Then you've got like Nayor from Nebraska, who had like a 10 RAS. He's got 34 inch arms. He's one of the freakier receivers I've seen in a long time. He's just a freak, right? Doesn't always catch the ball well, but like freak athlete later in the draft. So my point with bringing that up is that like for big body receiver, Higgins is like probably the number one guy outside of Tet McMillan from Arizona. With the running back, it becomes really interesting because I do think there's other playmakers, right? There's other playmakers at the position that probably fit what you're looking for a little bit more specifically. And so in a draft where you only have five picks, you have to be very selective, right? And again, running back is valuable. We've seen how valuable running back can be, the Saquon, the Gibbs, the, you know, Bijan Robinson, your, Christian McCaffrey. They do, Derrick Henry, they do add value to your offense. But I'm also acutely aware that, like, that guy has to be extremely special. And I look at other running backs in this class, and I'm like, the difference between Henderson and them is significant, because I think Henderson will be a second-round player. But I look at, like, Rashard Smith from SMU. He's a converted wideout. He's explosive, man. He would make this offense tremendously explosive. And I think he's probably going to be there when you're picking in the, what are they? They have a fourth and a sixth and a seventh. Sure in the fourth, maybe in the sixth round. And think about like adding that playmaker to this offense. I mean, it seems like very impressive. So the back to me is a little bit less. I'm a little bit less on board with that because the position is so, so deep this year. The big receiver thing, like I just talked about, there's not that many big body dudes. So if that's something they want to prioritize, I'd probably go that direction. And then defense, I think, is really interesting. That perspective. He mentioned Azrae Thomas, who I love. I love the film of. But he just ran like a 4.65 at his pro day. So, yeah. You know, does he fit your minimum thresholds anymore? I don't know. Is he moving to safety? I don't know. Is he a good football player on tape? Yes, but those things do factor into decisions for teams. As I've said a million times on this show, I love Landon Jackson. He's one of my favorite players in this draft class, but he's not like a juiced up pass rusher. You know, like he's not going to ever have 10 sacks, I don't think, in his whole career. He's going to play super hard. He's going to be your commander's commander for 10 years. Like, I'm very confident. He just plays like an absolute lunatic. But if you don't value that as much as you value the big body receiver, I think in this conversation, like, you could easily go that way, right?
Yeah. So in short, yeah, I could see it happening. You know, if you think that the receiver especially, or like, let's say a tight end drops, or, you know, there's an offensive lineman that you're like, I can't believe this guy's here. Could they absolutely double down on offense? Yeah. I think that they will truly follow their board, because I think what they've done in free agency is set themselves up to do so. Like, Landon Jackson at 60, whatever, like, I'm fine with that. Like, hell yeah. That's a guy that some people might consider for them at 29. Like, if he somehow is still there at the end of the second, then that's great. And that's where I think that I'm at with all of this, is like, it truly is going to come down to, do you think one of these guys has a chance to be special or is significantly better than everyone else? If they're all kind of even, probably favor defense ever so slightly, but it also depends on the drop off on the board of, okay, who's the next best running back and what will be available to me in two rounds? Who's the next best corner? Who's the next best whatever? And if there's a huge drop off and you feel like we're hitting a talent cliff at a certain position that we would like to address, then I'd probably take in that guy at that position. And my board would be set up accordingly.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because, like, for example, like, edge rusher with Landon Jackson, like, you don't have a third round pick. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, you could pick David Walker or Stewart from Michigan, or, you know, one of these kind of smaller juiced up pass rushers that, you know, have some issues from a measurement standpoint, but are going to be productive football players. But I'm like, man, you're not picking again in the fourth round. Yeah. So, like, you do have to be a little, because I do think there's going to be, like, kind of the end of the first, top of the second, a run on edge rushers. And I think kind of in the third round, all those other guys will probably get picked up. So if you're going to hit this kind of space where you're not going to be able to make a pick for a while, I do think that you got to kind of pull the trigger maybe on edge. Because I do, like I said, there are receivers that I think aren't going to give you the upside of Higgins. And I do think Higgins could be special. So that's why this is a little bit tough to kind of go apples to apples here, because I don't think he'll be there at 60, for example. I think he's getting to a point now in terms of pre-draft hype where he might be in the conversation as a first round pick, you know, maybe not for the Commanders, but that's kind of the range we're talking about, like end of first, top of second type of area. So it doesn't feel like we're quite comparing them correctly. But to your point, like, I do think there are a lot of receivers. I think there's a lot of receivers in free agency. I think there's a lot of receivers that kind of fit specific needs in the draft. There's a lot of speed receivers that you're going to be able to get later. I mentioned Daquan Thornton, but there's also Lane from Virginia Tech, who's a really solid player. So, like, to me, like, the edge thing becomes a little bit more interesting because of the parameters you just laid out. Because I don't know if you're picking in the fourth round, there's going to be someone that you're like, oh, this is a difference maker at edge. Like, that's where I would say maybe you go Landon Jackson in this specific scenario.
For sure. Yeah, the Thornton kid is someone I would definitely draft in Madden. I'm like, oh, his speed's 99? I know a route to send him on. Go route. Sick. He just broke the touchdown record. All right. Speaking of fast receivers, this question from Don was interesting, Logan, kind of a football theology question, but also one that becomes reality to an extent for the Commanders. If the Giants draft Travis Hunter at 3, and considering they now have Neighbors and Russell Moonball Wilson, that was Don's words, not mine. Is that better defended with a corner at 29 or an edge player? Best, Don.
So it's a good question. And so what I would say is I'm not sure Travis Hunter's skill set would be maximized by Russell Wilson. And so what I'll say is that I don't think Travis Hunter is going to run a 40 in the pre-draft process. That's just what my gut's telling me, because I don't think he's that fast. He's very good. Not everyone's freaking out now, but he's not
Malik Nabers 4.3 burner, right. Brian Thomas Jr. 4.3. He's awesome, but his skill set is different.
Yeah. So I think, I kind of like reject the premise of the question slightly, because I don't know if that's what he's going to be good at, right? You want to get him on like bubble screens and slants, and his ball skills are excellent. And he tracks the football well in the air, but I don't think he's going to like separate the way that Malik Nabers can separate down the field. Now, in answer to the original question, like, you know, which better, corner or defensive line? I always think if you can get a dog on the defensive line, it makes everything better for your defense. Like, and that's where I would probably go. Like, if there is like Donovan Ezeraku at 29 is so, I know everyone's talking about him getting mocked there, but he's so interesting to me. The more research I do about the player, like not even watching film, just like looking at how he tested and how he measured, he had like 16 and a half sacks. He had the most pressures in college football, so great feel. He can rush from multiple spots. He also had the fastest three cone for a defensive lineman at the combine. And so usually if that thing's sub 7, like in that 6.9 range, like you're a very good pass rusher, right? Mike Green had a 6.86 at his pro day. So like that's what we're talking about. And Mike Green led the nation in sacks, right? So I would say like if one of those guys is there that could really be a difference maker, that you think and believe can be a difference maker as a pass rusher, that's going to make it really hard for Russell Wilson, who holds the heck out of the football, to push that football down the field. And I think it just makes everybody better. And it's just about who do you think is going to be, is the edge rusher enough of a difference maker? Like we talked about, you know, Landon Jackson, who I love, Nick Scorton, who I love. I love them as football players and I want them on my team. I don't know if they make the pass rushing difference that those other guys make. And so if that's the case, if it's the decision between Nick Scorton and Atlanta Jackson, who I would absolutely die if they were Washington Commanders. Like, I just love how they play. I would probably go like Siobhan Revelle or another quarterback in this scenario. Because, again, it's got to be a difference-making kind of edge rusher from a pass rush standpoint.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, the pass rusher makes your entire secondary better. A corner does too, right? Less help, yeah. Whatever, if he's really that good. But at 29, I don't know if you're getting that. I'm frankly, I don't know that you're getting either one at 29. It is one thing that, like, are the Giants going to be good this year? I don't think so. I still think that they're in deep trouble. And Russell Wilson really faded down the stretch last year with Pittsburgh. But on any given week, frankly, with him or Jameis, they could be tremendously annoying. They're going to have some game where one of those two quarterbacks is on and they're just like throw four touchdown passes because they throw the, I don't know why they went and got Russell Wilson. I guess he's might be the guy that they like want to have in the building. You know, Russ is an interesting character, but for 1 year, is he a guy that you want around a rookie quarterback? Cause he is professional as hell. Like gets there really early, works his butt off the whole deal. But I'm like, hey, if I want someone to just spam Malik Nabers and that's my offense, yes. If I can tell Jameis, hey, Jameis, I'm never going to yell at you for throwing to number one. Jameis is like, okay, man, I'm ready to go. And like, yeah, he would just spam Malik Nabers all day. And like, that would be, he might throw 30 interceptions again, but he also might throw 35 touchdowns with 22 of them going to Malik Nabers.
100%. 100%. And so again, like, it is a weird decision for sure.
I don't know if they're going to win, but like, they could be annoying on any given week. All right. Last but not least, speaking of Jameis, actually, this question you got from Kevin on Instagram, I actually am fascinated because I don't know the answer to this. Question for the pod. During the combine, do the prospects have their vision tested? Thinking back to Carlos Rogers and Jameis Winston, who had vision correction several years after joining the league.
Yes. So I don't know how they did it back in the day, you know, back when Carlos Rogers was coming out. But now that medical testing is incredibly comprehensive, like incredibly comprehensive. Like it's like any tests you can, like CTs, MRIs, any injury they've ever had, like they see a general practitioner usually, like in terms of like, you know, cough and all this kind of stuff and look at the vision chart. Like teams want to know, man, they want to know everything they can about you. And so it's, again, like think about things we talked about earlier, maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. It's a process of saying like, I want to mitigate risk on an athlete, right? And one of the ways to do that is to just know everything you can about them. And that's why the combine still is a thing, in my opinion. It's not for the testing. The testing is for the TV. It's the medical and the interviews, right? And so if the medical has not got to be crazy comprehensive, right? And every team wants to do their own evaluation, but they put those guys through an absolute gauntlet of stuff. And so does every team do it? I don't know, but I'm sure a lot of teams do it now, especially kind of given these stories of like Fred Davis needing LASIK when he gets to the NFL, or you know what I'm saying? Like Carlos Rogers, same thing. So that's what I'd say is I'm sure a lot of teams do that now.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the thing is, I think they actually changed the medical testing like 2 years ago where it's not as much of a ringer, where it's like it used to be every team could basically do a full one. You might go through like 30 tests and it's like the same test, 30, which is ridiculous. And like, I think agents eventually were like, this is insane. Like you guys are treating these guys like, you know, livestock or something like that. Like it's, this is inhumane. And now I believe it is like a team of a couple of the team doctors get together and comprehensively do it and then decide. Disseminate the information, so it is not as much of a cattle call as it used to be. But I've no doubt that vision would be a part of it. I don't see why it wouldn't. I don't think that has changed. And then I think the question is like, what do you do with that information? And that's you know, the same thing as a three cone drill. Like, oh, this guy tested a little bit lower or worse than we thought or whatever. Like, why? And what can we do about that? And the answer might be, oh, well, he's actually not as quick as we thought or whatever. But for the vision thing, if it's like on tape, like sometimes it seems like things, you know, whatever. I don't even know what position. I mean, maybe like you have a corner who seems to be in good position, but drops the ball all the time. Does a bunch of dropped interceptions, a wide receiver whose drops are a little high. And maybe you go like, well, shoot, if we can get that guy LASIK and you know, the ball's not blurry coming in, then maybe we can steal ourselves a really good football player. So there's I guess positions where that probably is helpful. Like Jameis's vision wasn't the problem, LASIK wise. Jameis just sometimes doesn't see defenders, and that's something that medical technology can't fix. But I think that overall, like you then have to figure out what you can actually do with that information. At the very least, like good for the player to be able to presumably get paid for the surgery that will make their lives better because their vision is better if they test this out. They might have never had their vision tested in their life before that to even know that like what they experience isn't normal.
Yeah, I think about who's the guard for Kansas City, plays right guard for them.
Trey Smith,
like he had a pretty serious heart condition that a lot of teams are worried about and he ends up falling on the board. But Kansas City took that information and they went and talked to some different specialists and talked about how to manage it with medication and practice structure and all this kind of stuff. And they did it and it's not been an issue and he's been an awesome player for them. So I think that's another, maybe a good example of how taking the information and applying it to the individual situation can be extremely important. So yeah, I like they put them through anything you can think of. Like I've talked to them and talked to some of the guys that have been through it and like they put them through like, they got like a screen up in front of them. I think they might use VR now where it's like you have to track a certain number of moving objects and like indicate on where they are and test spatial, you know, spatial recognition and spatial awareness and object recognition and 3D space. And they do all this stuff to kind of, again, just try to tip the duck in their favor a little bit. So yeah, anything you can think of, like I'm sure NFL teams are trying it.
Some of that stuff you just mentioned is also part of the S2 test, which we haven't heard of basically since CJ Stroud's whole ordeal, which was kind of unfair because even the S2 guys were like, this is not accurate reporting. But it's funny that we haven't really heard of that since. All right, that's our show for today. Mailbag questions for next week. Send them in. Instagram at Hoffman.sports at Logan_Paulson82. HoffmanShow.com is where you can also submit on the contact link. HoffmanShow@gmail.com, I also think works. So you can use that. I got a notification that you haven't used this email address. Is it still live? I'm like, I forgot that I had it. But there you go. If you just want to send a direct email, HoffmanShow@gmail.com is apparently an email address that I set up that you can email with your mailbag questions. That's our show Thursday. Logan, tell us about our guest on Thursday. It's someone that you've talked draft with before that you're excited to bring to the show.
Yeah, Jeremy Green is a guy that I met. We were sitting watching drills at the combine, and I was just kind of talking about his process. He watches over 500 guys, 500 guys with reports. He's from South Carolina. He's got a little twang to his talk, a little metaphor when he speaks. And he is a funny dude who watches a ton of football. And I always say, like, him and Fred Smoots are like they're siblings in another life, man. They are very, very funny. They watch a lot of ball, and it should be very entertaining at the least. So
we got that. Got a couple other guests coming up between now and the draft. I got some special episodes too. Logan's going to take a vacation, which I'm excited for you. Because
I am excited for me too. Yes.
But we're gonna have some fun guest hosts during that week. So I'm excited. They don't know about it yet, but they're not gonna have a choice. So if you're someone in the Commanders media sphere and you think that it could be you, that ask is coming. So we'll do that when Logan's gone, which is next week all of a sudden?
Two weeks
from now. And then Logan will be back in time for the draft, of course. So plenty of plans still to come. We'll also tell you our draft plans soon. That's where we're at on this year's show. This year episode's over, but we'll see you guys on Thursday with Jeremy Green here on Take Command.